Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
As the moonlight pierces through the dark, paranormal enthusiast and best friends, Farrah and Courtney venture deep into the woods, armed with flashlights and a sense of adventure.
Farrah, are you sure this is a good idea?
Sure, I'm sure. We're paranormal investigators. We're not scared of any ghosts.
What was that?
Probably some animals. Oh my God. My flashlight is going out.
Following the chilling sounds, the two stumble upon an abandoned and haunted building, its dark silhouette looming over them.
Look, there it is. The abandoned radio station. It's supposed to be mad haunted.
Let's be careful. We don't know what's inside.
Wow, look at this place.
A long growl is heard coming from behind the girls. They turn around slowly, and to their surprise, a zombie is standing in front of them dressed to the nines, wearing a 70s bell-bottom hot pink and purple leisure suit.
Who are you pasty-looking females, and what the heck are you doing in here?
Who are you calling pasty? Nice suit. Did you raid Barry Manilow's wardrobe, or did John Travolta have a yard sale?
Sorry about that. We didn't mean any harm. We're just curious about this place.
Curious, huh? Well, come with me. I got something to show you.
And as they wander deeper into the building, they uncover vintage studio equipment covered in dust and decay.
Farrah, you were looking for a new place to set up your podcast, right?
And this is it?
Whoa there, sweet cheeks.
No, don't worry. We'll make it worth your while. We love the strange and unexplained phenomena, true crime, macabre, and the sinister. And hey, you'd be a great touch to the show. Maybe be an announcer for us as well.
That does sound stellar. I'm in.
A few minutes later, 12 seconds later, 3 weeks later, many months later.
Okay, we're rolling. Welcome to Studio Sinister Podcast,
where we explore stories that haunt us all.
And then we'll go make a fresh kill to celebrate.
Dawn.
Just kidding.
Join Farrah, Courtney, and Dawn the Zombie on the 1st, 10th, and 20th of every month for some rad, chilling stories.
And if you piss your pants, that's your problem.
Come embrace the haunt. See you soon, Sinister Seekers.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in.
A reporter who has a knack for getting personally involved in the stories he's trying to cover, whether he likes it or not. Today's show, a 1947 series, Deadline Mystery.
And if you enjoy this series,
be sure to check out Bright Star and Nightbeat in the archives. This is a volume 1, so let me know what you think of the show in the comments on Spotify or through my email or Twitter or Instagram. All those links can be found in the descriptions below. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. And thank you to all of those that have already done it. And with all that,
please enjoy the show.
From Hollywood, the Knox Company, worldwide distributors of scientifically compounded pharmaceutical products, presents Stephen Dunn, star of Columbia Pictures in Deadline Mystery.
Lucky Larson's the name, columnist for over 250 newspapers syndicated all over the world. You know, even a newspaper man's got to eat, although to look at most of us, you'd never know we do. It isn't the fact that we don't make enough money. It's because we never have the time. But I'm different. I'm a guy who takes his time. Right now, there's an awfully big mess cooking on the stove in my little apartment. Who's frying? Lucia. A classy little dame who followed me to Sicily a couple of months ago to kill me because... Well, because she thought I'd kill the guy who thought she loved. Brother, she can kill me with her pizza anytime. Pizza, that savory dish that tastes and smells of old Italy. Garlic, tomatoes, gooey dough and cheese. And, of course, the sauce. Wine ripe and smackable.
You want to taste it, Lucky?
Are you kidding, baby?
There. Mm-hmm. Is it all right?
Just stick your finger in it, baby. It'll be perfect.
Oh, Lucky. I love to cook for you. You like everything I make.
Oh, you give it such pretty trimmings.
Oh, Lucky, you're sweet.
Come here.
Oh, Lucky, pizza, it'll burn.
Forget it.
Lucky, the doorbell.
Forget the doorbell.
Lucky, you'd better go. I think the doorbell stuck.
Oh, okay. I open the door and then right into a story. There's a kid standing here. The blood running down his face paints out his features. He could be anybody until I hear his voice.
Lucky, Mr. Larson, can I come in?
Johnny Hines, what a... Of course, kid, come on in.
Thanks, Mr. Larson.
What happened, Johnny? You hit a truck?
No, I...
Look, don't try to talk right now. Come on, we'll go wash up.
Who is it, Lucky?
Oh!
The kid's hurt, honey. You want to give me a hand?
Oh, well, that's awful. What happened? Who is he, Lucky?
Friend of mine. Kid I used to know. We lived in the same apartment house once.
Well, don't just stand there. Get some bandages. Yeah. Get some iodine. Get anything.
Lucia's soft touch does more for the kid than all the bandages in the world. What that girl can't do with a Band-Aid. Johnny's patches even have trimmings. He can talk now.
Come on, son. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, who beat you up, Johnny, and why?
They beat me up because Mom doesn't want to move.
You mean somebody's trying to chase you out of the place where you live now?
Yes, sir. Mr. Quinn's been trying to get us out for weeks.
Oh, I don't believe it, Johnny.
But he has, Mr. Larson. He's done all kinds of things, like turning off the gas, stopping the water.
Oh, look, Johnny, that doesn't sound like Quinn. I've known the guy for years. He was the best landlord I ever had.
He's different now. He's so different that we want to move. Only we can't find any place to go.
Doesn't seem possible.
He's already chased the people out across the hall, the Winstons. They had to go to a trailer camp. And the people next door to us had to move in with relatives.
Sound like you're telling the truth, Johnny, but it just doesn't make sense.
Mom's sick. We've just got to stay.
Quinn's never been like that. Why, I've known him to carry tenants for months without even a cent of rent.
What'll we do, Mr. Larson?
What happened tonight, Johnny?
Well, I told Mr. Quinn that if he didn't leave Mom alone, I was coming to see you.
Is that why he beat you up?
Oh, no, sir. Mr. Quinn didn't do it.
Who did?
I don't know. Some big guy stopped me on the street as I was coming here. He said he'd teach me that this neighborhood wasn't going to be healthy for squealers like me.
Just a minute. I pick up the phone and dial Quinn's number. I have to wait a few minutes. Hey, you look better with your face washed, kid. Hello, Joe. Lucky Larson. That's funny. Joe Quinn has always been glad to hear from me before. Now he comes through and asks me how I am, why I don't ever come around. I'm coming around now, Joe. I just wanted to be sure you'd be in. Quinn says he's just going out. You better wait for me, Joe. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
But Lucky, the pizza.
Keep it hot, baby. I won't be long. And don't change your lipstick while I'm gone, huh?
Here is a message of special importance to men and women who suffer from backache, to people who feel nervous and jumpy, people who are losing their pep because of restless sleep, people who get up in the morning as tired as when they went to bed, to people who suffer from muscular aches and pains and feel a lot older than their years. If these conditions arise from an accumulation of excess acids due to a non-organic and non-systemic disorder of kidney function, the very first dose of the diuretic formula called Systex, C-Y-S-T-E-X, usually goes right to work helping nature clear away irritating excess acids and poisons. And this natural action may quickly bring an almost amazing increase in pep, a delightful easing of backache, nervousness, and the handicapping muscular pains. Then you can feel younger and get more fun out of life. Because it may bring such a vast improvement in your physical well-being, you owe it to yourself to try Systex today. Take exactly as directed on the package. See how fast it works. Your money back is guaranteed unless you're completely satisfied. So get Systex, C-Y-S-T-E-X, from your druggist today. See how much Systex may help you. And now, back to Lucky Larson and Deadline Mystery.
I'm at Quinn's apartment house now. I pull up and park. As I turn the motor off, a guy steps out of the shadows and points with a gun. I shove the door handle down. I roll to the street. The shot I expect doesn't come. Instead, the whole building falls on my head. Slowly, ever so slowly, the lights come back on again. There's a buzzsaw going around in my brain, and every one of the teeth takes out a nick as the thing goes round and round. Gradually, the buzzsaw turns into a hum, and I realize I'm all cramped up and riding in a car. I'm lying on the bottom under somebody's feet. Yeah, definitely feet. Way off somewhere, I hear voices.
When you get the Eagle Point, put him behind the wheel and start the car and jump.
Oh, how am I going to be sure I'll be killed?
Don't be a sap. There's a drop there at 200 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Now, stop the car. Let me out. I got another job.
I open my eyes a slit. Oh, it's too dark. Can't make out his mug. The lug grinds a steel into my ribs. I grit and take it. I got to. Can't fight two guys with two guns. Not with me lying on the floor, anyway. The car starts up again. I'd give up all of Lucia's pizza just to stretch once. But I don't dare. Not yet. The car goes on for miles. Reached Eagle Point. The guy leaves his motor running, gets out. He comes around and opens my door. I grab his ankle, give it a twist. He dives into the gravel. My luck runs out. I lose my hold. I pull myself over into the driver's seat and grab the wheel. The headlights stab at the cliff edge, not 15 feet away. Through their back wash, I see the mug grabbing for his gun. I don't want it, but I got it. I throw the car in gear, twist the wheel hard, and step on the gas. The cliff jumps right up at me. I say I'm not going to make it. I slide over in the seat and push the door open and slide out onto air or land. Yeah, I win that toss. Way down below, I hear a terrible crash. Out of the dark behind me, I hear a curse and a laugh.
So long, Larson. So long. Ooh, my ankle.
I ride back into town on my thumb. Right now, I'm pushing the bell at Joe Quinn's apartment. Joe takes his time coming to the door. Before he opens it, he has to unlock it. Well, that's funny, too. Quinn never used to lock his door.
Lucky. It is you.
Yeah, Joe. Pretty healthy-looking ghost.
But I...
Joe, what makes you think you can get by with assaulting tenants?
But I never...
Wait a minute. I'm coming in.
Oh, please, Lucky. I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't lie, Joe. I already know about three of your tenants. How you had them beaten up in order to get them out.
You've got to believe me, Lucky. I never had anybody beat up.
Look, I saw Johnny Hines' face tonight, Joe. He came and told me all about it. And about the Winstons and the people next door.
Johnny lied to you, Lucky. Johnny was caught tonight trying to strip a car. He put up a fight and the guy who owned the car kicked his face in.
I don't believe it.
Okay. Then come with me to Mrs. Hines' apartment and she'll tell you that that's the truth.
Mrs. Hines is frightened, petrified. But she sticks to her story.
What Mr. Quinn says is true, Mr. Larson.
Smells like a mackerel.
It was dreadful of Johnny getting himself into trouble and then putting the blame on poor Mr. Quinn.
Is Johnny home? I'd like to talk to him.
What? Yes, of course. I'll call him.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Larson. That's right.
You were caught stealing parts from cars, Johnny?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of guys made me do it.
Who were they?
Well, I don't know. I never saw them before.
Please, Mr. Larson. Please forgive Johnny for getting you mixed up in this thing.
The dive I almost took over the cliff wasn't funny.
I know. But if you don't report him to the police, I'll promise you he'll go straight. I promise.
What are you going to do with a sick woman and her only kid? Okay, but there's still something screwy about this deal. For instance, how does it happen these mugs are waiting for me when I got to Quinn's apartment?
I called them after you left your place and told them how I'd loused things up.
Quit lying, Johnny. If you call them, then you know their names.
Well, not exactly. They're called Mike and Red.
Where'd you call them?
Like, they hang out at Harry's place.
Of course, kid, you know I'm going to check on that. I do. The bomb in Harry's place never heard of Mike and Red. He hasn't had a phone call for him either. Not ever. It proves what I already know, that Johnny Hines is lying for some reason. Well, I better go home, have a bath, and think things out. Besides, I'm getting late for the pizza. I open my door and I smell burnt Italy. I run to the kitchen. Every pan is charcoal crisp. Every burner is on. Lucia's out. She's been mad at me before, but never that mad. Besides, she never gets mad at me for running out. She always knows I run right back. I dial her number. No answer. Something's wrong. I try a taxi stand. Hello? Get a cab over to 350 Park Avenue, will you? Huh? Hello? What? Well, where'd you go, baby? Lucia tells me that Johnny lied about Mr. Quinn. She says that after I left, Johnny called two guys. He called them Red and Mike. Lucia says that Johnny said something to him about lousing things up. Hey, wait a minute, baby. Where'd he call him? She says Johnny called him at Harry's place. Yeah, yeah, okay, baby. Now tell Papa, who's holding a gun at your back? I check the operator. Can you trace that call, honey? She says no. My door rings. It's a cab. I get over to Quinn's apartment. Quick.
Lucky. Are you crazy? It's 1 o'clock.
Never mind, Joe. We're going to have words.
Lucky, I'm a nice guy, but I don't have to stand for this.
You got any ideas?
Yes. I'm going to throw you out.
I beat him to the punch. I'll try to be funny, Quinn. I grab his wrist and show him the Marine.
Oh, me? I... Don't, Lucky. I'll talk.
That's what you should have done a long time ago.
It's not my fault. I couldn't help it. Honest, Lucky.
That isn't what I want to hear.
It's a gang, Lucky. They're moving in on all the apartments in this district.
How do they work it?
Well, they force the tenants out and demand huge bonuses from people who are desperate for homes.
You mean you stand for that?
I couldn't help it. They beat me up, too. And they threaten to burn me out.
What's your cut?
Oh, I haven't taken a cent, honest, Lucky. I haven't.
Who are they?
The only one I know is the contact man. They call him Mike. He was here when you first called me tonight.
I see.
Yeah, he called someone else and told them to lay for you. Then he went to your place and got Johnny Hines.
Go on, add up some more.
Mike was in the apartment when we went to talk to Johnny and his mother tonight. That's why they lied.
What about Lucia, the girl that was at my place? They got her, too?
They went back to get her when you told Johnny that you were going to check his story.
I'm ashamed of you, Joe. You should have gone to the police the first time these guys came to you. You know, you're a sap.
Why? I'll do anything now, Lucky. Anything. Wait, I'll call the police right now.
Don't touch the phone.
Why not?
I gotta find Lucia first. If I don't, I'll never find her.
Yes, but how?
You'll go down to headquarters with me, Joe. We'll look at some pictures. Maybe you'll be able to pick out this Mike.
Yeah, I'll go.
If I can find the guy, I'll make him talk. We start for the door. We get about 2 feet and Joe yells.
Look out, Lucky! Look out!
As the shot, Quinn goes down. I whirl around. The lights go out. I jump to somewhere else. Two more shots hit the air where I'd been. Grab a chair and hurl it towards the door. The guy yells as the chair connects. I run towards the door and fall over my own chair. I get up. I hear the door slammed. Hand locked. I know that by the time I find another exit, the guy will be gone. Oh, well. I turn on the light and take a look at Joe Quinn. I call the ambulance. A dark, nasty hole in his shoulder is crying red tears.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard about Systex for backache, for muscular aches and pains, for nervousness, for loss of pep and sleep, for that tired, worn-out feeling when due to a non-systemic and non-organic disorder of kidney function. But have you tried Systex? That's spelled C-Y-S-T-E-X. Until you do, you can't know how fast it may work to help nature curb your backache and muscular pains, bring you greater pep, allay nervousness, improve your physical well-being. Clinical tests in many cases, even on people up to the advanced age of 80, prove that Systex helps a high percentage of those who give it a fair trial. And because Systex is so successful, it is now one of the accepted medicines in many countries throughout the world. For over 20 years, Systex has brought joyous help to millions of men and women. So surely you'll make no mistake in at least giving Systex a fair trial under the guarantee of money back unless completely satisfied. So get Systex, C-Y-S-T-E-X, from your druggist and take exactly as directed on the package. See how much Systex may help you. And now back to Lucky Larson and Deadline Mystery.
I step down to the Hines apartment. All I find is a note on the door. It says, gone out of town. No milk, please. Fine, fine. There's no one who can identify the gang's contact man, unless I can find the Winstons or the couple next door. Fair chance of that. They haven't the glimmer of an idea where they are. As for Joe Quinn, he won't be talking for a long, long time. Maybe never. I go back to Joe's apartment just as the meat wagon boys get there, and the cops. My old friend, Lieutenant Tom Burns, is pushing him around.
Hi, Lucky. Was that you who called the station?
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, Quinn's got a bad hole in him.
Yeah, I know.
Who did it?
I don't know. Somebody took a shot at him from the door. Threw some lead at me, too. Put out the lights. I couldn't see who he was.
Uh-huh.
I don't dare tell Tom what I know, not yet. If I do, the gang will kill it, yeah, just as sure as taxes. Hey, Tom, why don't you get a fingerprint guy up here?
Already sent for him, Lucky. Oh, are you expecting a call?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, this is Larson. A dirty voice on the other end tells me that if I like that dame of mine, I'd better button my lip, keep it buttoned. Yeah, it's a deal. Only be sure you keep your part of the bargain, pal.
Well, that's that, Lucky. Not a print in this room that wasn't made by you or Quinn.
Oh, but there's got to be. There's got to.
What are you so upset about? Quinn isn't going to die.
I still want to find out who did it.
Well, Quinn will be able to talk in a few days. Maybe he'll be able to tell you.
A few days isn't soon enough.
Look here, Lucky. Are you holding out on me?
Let me borrow your fingerprint, man, will you, Tom?
What for?
Don't ask questions. If we find anything, I'll bring it straight to you.
Nope.
I'll tell you everything I know, honest, Tom.
Sorry, Lucky. That isn't good enough.
Tom, you gotta trust me.
Sorry, Lucky, no.
But if I tell you now, it'll leak. I'll be scooped. Now, look, Tom, I've helped you out a couple of times.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Tom. The fingerprint man and I get into his car. When we're down the road a couple of blocks, I say, drive to Eagle Point, son. We're gonna get some prints off the wheel of a car about 200 feet down.
Okay, Lucky, we've matched the prints.
Good, Tom. I know you would.
It belonged to a hood who's done at least a dozen rats.
Who is it?
No. Not until you come across, Lucky.
Okay, if that's the only way.
I'm afraid it is.
Well, look, I'm trying to run down a story on a gang that's trying to promote a home renting racket.
Hey, isn't that a new one?
Just an old one with a new twist. The Shakedown racket. These are the guys who shot Joe Quinn, Tom. They also beat up young Johnny Hines. Then they kidnapped him and his mother, along with a friend of mine.
Well, why didn't you tell me this before?
Because they killed a whole bunch, if they think I've talked.
Well, come on, let's go get them.
Tom, look, I gotta handle this alone. I've gotta find this guy and make him tell me who's at the top. You can understand. Gotta use my own methods. Methods that, well, you can't use. There's no time to bring the guy into headquarters and make him sweat. So, come on, Tom, let me know who belongs to these prints, huh?
Yeah. Well, Lucky, you're always asking me to break the rules. Go ahead. The prints came off of Frankie Rules.
Frankie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tom, thanks. I'll be seeing you.
Hey, wait a minute. How are you going to find him?
I know guys who'll sing for a sawbuck. This song's worth a century. I drop into an all-night pillory, pay a nickel for a phone booth. I'm calling a stool. Hiya, Squint. Lucky Larson. Hey, Squint. I got $100 that says you don't know where I can find Frankie Rolls. The guy sniffs a couple of times, gives me an address. Well, what do you know? You don't mean it. You know, Squint, I'll go broke if I keep on losing bets like that. I'll put the money in the mail after I've seen Frankie. So don't give him the tip. The address Squint gave me is a pretty nifty neighborhood. Too nifty for the Frankie Rolls I used to know. Looks like this new racket is really paying off. I find the right window and slip my knife under the catch. Easy now, Lucky, easy. My pencil flash pokes around the room. It looks empty and safe. I give the window another shove. Wow! I didn't count on an alarm. It's too late to back out now. Anyway, who wants to? I climb in, scurry across the room. I get back at the door just as somebody throws it open. The lights go on.
All right, you. Come out from behind that door.
Huh?
And don't try any tricks. I can see every move you make in the mirror.
I step out, right into a guy with a gun. Well, surprise. This isn't Frankie Rolls. It's a lawyer by the name of Lamson Holliday. I've interviewed him at least a dozen times. Oh, hiya, counselor.
Larson, the columnist. I know you.
Yeah.
What do you mean, breaking into my house? Trying to steal some papers from one of my cases?
I'm wondering if Squint gave me the runaround on this tip. Holliday's a respected mouthpiece, more or less, even if he does defend crooks.
Well, speak up, Larson.
I listen to the burglar alarm. I figure I can't get in any worse. Well, I'll tell you, Counselor. I'm looking for a crook by the name of Frankie Rolls.
You expect to find him here?
Yeah, that's what the boys in the back room tell me.
Just a minute. Let me turn this thing off. You get around, Larson.
Then he is here.
Sure. Just step through that door. I'll take you up.
Holiday prods me with his gun. We go up some stairs.
Come on out, Frankie. We've got company.
A door opens down the hall. A silhouette steps out, framed by the light, and back its shape is the same as the guy who came at me this evening out of the shadows with a gun.
Who is it, Holiday?
Well, he didn't exactly say he was a friend of yours.
Lucky Larson.
Unlock the guest room, Frankie. That's the right place for a guest, isn't it?
Yeah. Lots of guests use this room.
You always have a Yale spring lock on your guest room,
Sergeant? Come on, Snowpuck, get on in there.
I step past Frankie. Turn. It's an old Marine trick. I grab his arm, yank him into the room, and slam the door. The Yale lock snaps.
Hey, let go of my arm. Break of my arm.
How'd you guess it, stinker?
Oh.
All right, where's your gun?
I got a gun. Now let go.
Not in a million years,
pal. If you come out, I'll make a deal with you.
I don't believe in Santa Claus.
If you don't come out, I'll shoot the lock off.
That's okay with me. I'm holding Frankie against the door.
I'll give you 3 seconds.
Hey, don't shoot, boss. The Larson says it's true.
I pull Frankie back as 2 shots come through. You're a lousy shot, Holiday. You missed.
Hey, let me loose, Lucky. Let me loose.
You don't want me to shove you back in his line of fire, you better talk fast, Snicker.
I tell you, I don't know anything.
Where's the girl and the others?
I don't know.
The rat's beginning to squeak, Holiday. He'll make a swell witness at your trial. You'll have to do better than that, Counselor. You gonna tell me, Frankie?
I don't know.
Okay, Holiday. I'm gonna hold Frankie up in the center of the door. If you don't want to hear him in court, you better not miss. I'll give Frankie's arm another twist and start pushing him over.
Ooh. Ooh. I'll tell you what you want to know.
Where are they?
They're in that closet over there.
Okay, Holiday. Shoot. Brother, are you lousy?
All the bullets I've got. I'm loading up again.
I measure the distance of Frankie's jaw and swing. Frankie sighs and takes a nap. You better hurry with that reloading, Holiday. I'm coming out. Drop it, Counselor. I can beat a shell to the chamber.
1 second and I'll let you have it. What's that?
Haven't you ever heard of a doorbell?
Who could be...
It's the answer to your burglar alarm, Holiday. Right now, I'd say your yard is lousy with cops.
Cops?
Yeah. You're in kind of a spot, brother.
What do you mean?
What are you going to do, Holiday? You've either got to go and answer that bell or the cops will break down the door.
Yeah? Well, I've got another choice.
You mean taking a part of me, sure, but the house is surrounded, Holiday. They'll get you for murder.
Open up! We're coming in!
Too bad, Holiday. A respected lawyer like you should have had more respect for the law.
Open up! Open up!
Your bartending days are over.
Yes, sir. Yes, I...
Holiday, don't be a fool. Drop that gun.
I had time to get one bullet in the chamber.
You can't do it. Yeah. One bullet's enough. Go back into the guest room. Dig out the keys out of Frankie's pocket and unlock the closet door. Lucia falls out into my arms. Quickly, I take out the gag. There you go, baby. You still think I'm sweet?
Oh, go ahead, Lucky. Go ahead and prove it.
Where's Johnny and his mother, baby?
In there. They're all right.
Good. I untie Lucia's hands and feet. She can't cook pizza without hands.
All right, where are you? It's the police.
Be out in a minute, Tom. Got a little unfinished business.
Oh, Lucky. Lucky.
It's all right, baby. Well, I guess we better go out and face him, huh?
Oh, it's you, Lucky.
Yeah. Ain't I the little cut up, though?
What I want to know is who shot Lamson Holiday and why.
Well, that's easy, Tom. He shot himself.
Yeah? What for?
His rent racket went up too fast. He knew he was going to be evicted. Column for today, Sunday, August the 10th, 1947. Deadline by Lucky Larson. Say, have you a little racket in your home? Whom are you paying off right now? Do you know a guy who knows a guy who knows where Aunt Minnie can get an apartment if she marries a veteran and buys $25 worth of furniture for $500? I know one who'll even furnish the veteran. How about that racket little Jimmy's got when he makes your boyfriend give him a nickel to get him out of the parlor? You can stop little Jimmy's racket by patting his pants and leading him out the front door by his ear. You can stop all the other rackets, too, if you'll just call a cop. A cop's got the best protection racket there is. And all it costs you is taxes. You know, little rackets turn into big rackets. And big rackets turn into wars. So, be smart. Call a cop while they're still small. Huh? You know, at one time, one lonely little cop could have stopped Hitler. Yeah. That's dirty.
Here is a vitally important message to those who suffer from recurring attacks of bronchial asthma. Most people who suffer from the coughing and struggle to breathe, who can't sleep at night and thus lose strength and energy, have had these recurring attacks a long time. They've tried a lot of things and still they cough, wheeze, and struggle to breathe. Naturally, they become skeptical and think nothing will help them. But I firmly believe there is hope for even the most pessimistic, because I have seen letters from all over the world, from grateful men and women, telling how thankful they were that they got up enough courage to try Mendaco. That's spelled M-E-N-D-A-C-O. And I've seen a large number of clinical reports, which convince me that Mendaco has been a blessing to sufferers from recurring attacks of bronchial asthma. There are certain scientific reasons why Mendaco works the way it does. And the producers of this great medicine are so confident it will help most sufferers from recurring attacks of bronchial asthma that they say, get Mendaco from your druggist and take exactly as directed on the package. If you're not completely satisfied, your money back is guaranteed immediately. For coughing, recurring attacks of bronchial asthma, get Mendaco, M-E-N-D-A-C-O. Ask your druggist for Mendaco today. Listen next week at the same time when the Knox Company, worldwide distributors of Systex, the modern kidney diuretic, and Mendaco for recurring attacks of bronchial asthma, presents another exciting adventure of Lucky Larson starring Stephen Dunn through arrangements with Columbia Pictures, producers of Down to Earth. Deadline Mystery is directed by Dave Titus and written by Fred Howard. Today's episode was based on an original story by Robert Neffel. Included in today's cast were June Whitley as Lucia, Sam Edwards as Johnny Hines, Jack Cushion as Frankie Rawls, John Frank as Joe Quinn, and Byron Kane as Lieutenant Tom Burns. Original music was composed and played by Len Salvo. The events and characters depicted in this story were entirely fictional, and any resemblance to actual places or people, living or dead, is entirely coincidental. Frank Hemingway speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is ABC, the American...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From Hollywood, the Knox Company, worldwide distributors of scientifically compounded pharmaceutical products, presents Stephen Dunn, star of Columbia Pictures, in Deadline Mystery.
Lucky Larson's the name columnist for over 250 newspapers syndicated all over the world. You know, usually you have to do a lot of nagging and harping in order to get things done. Any good wife knows that she has to start in on her husband at least 2 weeks in advance in order to make him go out and get a haircut. Well, that's the way it is with me and this housing shortage. I've already written many columns on this subject, and I expect to write a good many more before the pigeons have the parks to themselves again. Why do I make it my business? Well, Quonset huts are all right, but I don't like to see the future generation growing up with nothing better to look forward to than round shoulders. I've been in this particular city now for several days. Right now, I'm in the private office of one Gordon R. Driscoll. Gordon R. is the president of the Intercity Construction Corporation. I figure if I want to get out about housing, I ought to talk to the guys who build them. This is the guy, Gordon R. Driscoll. High-powered, strictly big time.
You're wrong, Larson. What you suggest is preposterous.
Well, I'll have to admit that it was a rumor that brought me to this town, Mr. Driscoll, but this particular rumor has it that the housing situation here is the worst in the nation. There's an odor of scandal in the air, Mr. Driscoll. Even in the short time that I've been here, I've smelled it.
Let me assure you, my dear Mr. Larson, the situation is not as bad as rumored.
You'll swear to that?
Definitely. There's no actual basis of fact. These stories are simply the work of calamity howlers, malcontents. Oh, hello, baby doll.
Oh. Who is he, Sugar? Who is he?
Calm yourself, sweetie. Just a reporter.
Columnist.
Columnist.
Yeah.
Mr. Larson, meet my wife, Phyllis.
Hmm. Mr. Larson?
Mr. Larson is getting information on the housing shortage, honey lamb.
Short houses? That's silly.
Not to a guy who has to fit a wife and three kids to a park bench.
Gordy will build your house. Won't you, Lambie?
Now, Sugar, don't worry your pretty little head about business matters.
Are you going to be in town long, Handsome?
If you mean me, not any longer than I can help it.
Bring him along this weekend on the yacht, Lambie.
Yes, yes, indeed. Love to have you, Larson.
Maybe.
I'll wager you look divine in a bathing suit, Handsome.
I'm walking back to my hotel now. I'm not the least bit happy or satisfied. Aside from honey blonde Phyllis, nothing else stacks up. My interview was flatter than a Saturday newspaper. And all of a sudden, I have to admit what every other newspaper man has to admit every once in a while. By following this rumor blindly, I played myself for a king-sized chump. I'm back in my hotel room now. Somebody's knocking at my chamber door. I go over to open it, half expecting to find the Raven. Well, George Harris, you old son of a gun, come on in.
Thanks, Lucky.
I worked with George when I was a legman in the big city. George came to this town, married, settled down. He's managing editor of the Times News. My column runs in the big opposition paper owned by J. Nelson Bostock. Bostock owns 11 other papers, too, in 11 other cities. George, if you're trying to cop my column for your sheet, it's no soap. You know, I've got a contract.
Sure, I'm running the Times News, Lucky. But they handed me a wormy apple. The paper's in the red. They put me in the saddle as a last resort, and already I got blisters.
Well, is there anything I can do to help?
I don't know. I've been trying to build up the Times News, Lucky. Trying to do some good for this town.
Yeah, you would.
So, I've been digging into this housing mess.
Oh?
And it's all of that, Lucky. It stinks.
Yeah, I smelled it, too.
I had a hunch that's why you were here.
Dirty politics, George?
No, it's a group outside of politics. They've kept the city from awarding paving contracts. They've killed the lakefront project. They've lampooned two big housing deals.
Yeah, who was promoting the housing project?
Citizens Committee. A bunch of square, honest guys.
What's the monkey wrench?
Apparently, whoever's behind this thing is trying to stifle all competition. In the end, they'll get the jobs themselves at their own price. A stuffed price.
I see. Who's doing it?
I know everything but their names, Lucky. And I'm just a step away from discovering them. Want to help?
Brother, and how?
How about your own paper? They won't like you working with me.
Oh, Bostock will blow his cork, sure, but he'll get over it.
Yeah.
Well, come on, let's go, huh?
Sorry, Lucky. The only place I'm going is to jail.
What?
Yep. I've been framed, Lucky. That's why I need you to carry on.
Well, maybe we can put the frame around another picture. I've done it before.
Maybe you can. I'll be hanging in the museum.
Oh, come on. Tell me. What's the rap?
20 minutes ago, I walked into my room at the Meadowbrook Hotel. There's a girl lying up in that room, Lucky. All she's got on is a nylon slip. And somebody ripped a big hole in that with a knife.
Now, here is a message of special importance to men and women who suffer from backache, to people who feel nervous and jumpy, people who are losing their pep because of restless sleep, people who get up in the morning as tired as when they went to bed, to people who suffer from muscular aches and pains and feel a lot older than their years.
If these conditions arise from an accumulation of excess acids due to a non-organic and non-systemic disorder of kidney function, the very first dose of the diuretic formula called Systex, C-Y-S-T-E-X, usually goes right to work helping nature clear away irritating excess acids and poisons. And this natural action may quickly bring an almost amazing increase in pep, a delightful easing of backache, nervousness, and a handicapping muscular pain. Then you can feel younger and get more fun out of life. Because it may bring such a vast improvement in your physical well-being, you owe it to yourself to try Systex today. Take exactly as directed on the package. See how fast it works. Your money back is guaranteed unless you're completely satisfied. So get Systex, C-Y-S-T-E-X, from your druggist today. See how much Systex may help you. And now back to Lucky Larson and Deadline Mystery.
Yeah, that's a frame. It is a frame. George's wife and family are out of town for the summer. He's rented his home to a family who's in need of a roof, moved into a hotel. A dead dame is found in his room. Yeah, that's the picture that's in the frame. Soroya couldn't have done any better. I don't have to ask this question, but I do. Why, George? Why?
I'm hot on the trail of the guys behind the housing scandal, Lucky. Too hot.
Yeah, I can see that.
They figure this stunt will cool me off.
Yeah. By discrediting you personally, they'll make your stories in the Times News worse than nothing, huh? Why do you come to me, George?
You aren't just a local guy. Your column is printed all over the world. People have to believe an outsider.
Tell me, who's the girl? Do you know her?
Of course. Her name is Wanda King.
Has she got an occupation?
Uh-huh. Singer at the Crinolin Club.
Reputation?
Lousy.
Who's her real boyfriend?
A small-time hood named Spike Morgan. Not too bright.
Have you notified the police?
Not yet. I wanted you to know first. I was afraid they'd hold me where I couldn't talk.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You will help me, won't you, Lucky? You'll blow this thing wide open?
Oh, George, you know I will.
Okay. Where's the phone?
Right over there on the desk.
All right, you guys. Don't make a move.
Well, friend of yours, George?
Spike Morgan.
Do you have to wave that gun, Spike?
Okay, you dirty louse. You made Waldner fall for you. Then you bumped her off. Give her my regards, because you're going to see her in a few seconds.
Now, wait a minute, Spike. You
don't... Shut up, wise guy. Get over there alongside of George. You're going, too.
This doesn't look so good. Spike must have really loved that day. He thinks George killed her. He's squaring it the only way he knows how. Yeah. Yeah, the final curtain is coming down fast. That is, unless... Look, you got this all wrong, Spike. The girl in George's room isn't Wanda. She's a dame from the East.
That don't go. I seen her.
Oh?
Yeah. I go into George's room with a skeleton key. It's Wanda, all right.
How'd you know George was here?
He told the desk clerk where he was going.
That's right, Lucky. I figured in case the body was found before I called the police, this way it wouldn't look as if I was running away.
That's enough, Gam. I'm going to let you have it.
Spike's gun comes up. He's got tears of honest rage and anguish in his eyes. Yeah, you really must have loved that gal. There isn't one thing I can do, not one little thing. But Spike doesn't pull the trigger. Instead, three cops walk in. Spike dives for the fire escape and makes it.
All right, Harris. We found the dame. You're coming with us.
Sure, I know. And it won't make any difference to you guys that I didn't do it.
I mean, how did the law get wind of this?
Chambermaid saw the body. Called in.
Now, look, officer, I'm a newspaper man, too. George here didn't
know. Oh, is that so? And all about you press guys. You throw some pretty wild parties. Maybe you was with Harris when that dame was killed. Maybe you killed her yourself.
I know better than to argue with a cop in the performance of his duty, so I go along. Watch the sergeant book both George and me on suspicion of murder. A couple of hours later now, I finally managed to get myself unbooked. George is hooked solid. He knew he would be. I leave the local pokey in anger in a taxi, head for the Sentinel. The Sentinel is the local paper that carries my column. Yeah. Yeah, any time a newspaper man gets into trouble, instinctively, he heads for his own paper. But this time, I should have stood in bed. I pile out in front of the Sentinel building. I pick up an edition of the paper on my way in. I'd be a liar if I didn't say I turned to my own stuff first. Yeah, I turn all right, but my column isn't there. I walk into the office of the managing editor. I ask why my column is missing. I'm told my copy got in late. I ask to see the Sentinel's owner, J. Nelson Bostock. I'm told that nobody sees the great white father. Not ever. Well, I've been brushed off quicker, but never better. I dust myself off and run right into Sandra Bostock, the great one's red-headed niece. Brother, does she carry what she's got well? She plans it that way.
Lucky, what are you doing in town?
Oh, hiya, Sandra.
Unky's throwing a shindig tonight. Why don't you drop over?
Sorry, Sandra, I'm busy. I got to see a man about a man who left a girl in a man's room. I try to another cab. I try to think. As much as my worn temper will let me think. I know that George Harris has told me the truth, what there was of it. Even he doesn't know the details.
They're not going to get any help from my paper. I can see that. I'll have to go it alone. Where'll I start? And the only source of information I know, the Crinoline Club, the place where George says one to King used to warble and wave fans. The Crinoline Club is neither good or bad. I look it over and ask a waiter for the boss. And a well-dressed, well-built gent steps up to my table.
I'm Ralph August. You wish to see me?
Yeah. Sit down. Have a nip out of my bottle. That is, if you can stand your own stuff.
Sure, I don't mind.
My name is Lucky Larson. I'm a columnist.
Well, what do you know? This place has been full of reporters since Wanda's body was discovered. But I hardly expected a celebrated guy like you to come snooping after news.
Tell me, haven't I seen you somewhere before?
I don't think so. Why?
Oh, I don't know. Just that I rarely forget a face.
Then he must have been somebody else. Now, what can I do for you, Larson?
I don't figure it's a good plan to tip my mitt, not at this point. Tell me, what do you know about this this George Harris and this Wanda?
It's the old story, Larson. Harris is a married man. He falls for this babe. He used to come to the club, you know. I've seen Harris and Wanda sit here and talk by the hour.
Well, I didn't have to be talking about love.
I figure that Wanda probably threatened to tell Harris's wife when she got back to town. So Harris killed her.
That's the way you figure it, huh?
Yeah, that's how I figure it. And Harris is well off being in jail right now.
Why do you say that?
He'd be dead if Spike Morgan got to him before the cops did.
Suddenly, I want to ask George some more questions. At the jailhouse, I meet my copper friend again.
You back?
Yeah.
What do you want this time?
A little talk with Harris.
Harris isn't receiving this evening.
Why?
Orders.
Whose orders?
Just orders from way up.
What would I have to do, say, if I really wanted to talk to George?
Nothing at all. There's nothing you can do.
In other words, the no visitors sign has my name tacked all over it, huh?
Well, now, you can jump at conclusions or you can jump out the window for all I care, but you don't get to see Harris.
So what? I can't knock down the county jail. On the street, I pick up tonight's edition of Tomorrow's Sentinel. George Harris is plastered all over the front page. Bostock must have really gotten out the whip. He's whipping Harris to a pulp. No guy can be that bad. I start to pitch the paper away before I retch, and second thought, I turn to my page. It isn't my page. No column. I get it. The Sentinel is crucifying George. Somebody framed George because he was working on a housing scandal. Both of my columns are on the same subject. Bostock doesn't want to print them. Yeah, I think I'll go to a party. J. Nelson Bostock's butler is shocked. I'm not in tails. His nose scrapes plaster off the ceiling. When I fail to present a gold-plated invitation, I'm going to get the bounce, it looks like, but the round and fully packed Sandra rescues me.
I knew you'd come, Lucky. You couldn't resist little Sandra, could you?
Well, my resistance is low tonight.
Let's go out on the side porch. There's a lot of things I want to talk to you about.
I look at the side porch. It's dark out there. Uh-uh. I'm only human. Right now, I'm pressed for time. Some other time, honey. Right now, I want to see your uncle.
He's in the study with some friends.
I'm going in.
Unky won't see you. He never sees
you. I know, but this time it's different. I'm going to see him. I push into the study. Jay Nelson is here, all right. Also, Gordon R. Driscoll, president of the Inner City Construction Corporation. They're having sherry and chess. Bostock looks up coolly as Driscoll allows himself to be checkmated.
What is it you want, my man?
I want to see you.
No one ever sees
you.
Yeah,
I know.
What are you sent for?
This guy's seen me 50 times. What the heck? I'm Lucky Larson.
Larson? Oh, yes, Larson. I didn't realize you'd been invited.
I was. However, this time I'm here on business.
I never discuss business with my employees, even in my office.
Look, I'm not one of your employees, Jay Nelson. It just so happens that my syndicate supplies your paper with my column. I'll probably correct that.
My 12 newspapers.
Okay, your 12 newspapers. What I want to know is why my column was dropped from the Sentinel for the last 2 days.
If this is a personal matter, Nelson, perhaps I'd better leave.
Sit where you are, Gordon. If anybody leaves, it'll be this young upstart.
I'm not leaving until I get an answer, J. Nelson Bostock.
Then you shall have it, sir. Your column was dropped because the Sentinel is my newspaper. As a publisher, it is my duty to the people to print the things that they should know.
Such as?
Your column, sir, contains scandalous untruths. It was designed to stir up the people, to play on their credulity over this so-called housing difficulty. The Citizens Committee's projects were misguided from the very first. They were impractical. And they definitely interfered with that most sacred of all American institutions, that of free enterprise.
If you don't mind, Nelson, I'd better go.
You stay where you are.
Why is the Sentinel crucifying George Harris?
It isn't doing anything of the sort. The satellite prints only the truth.
The truth? Is that why you convicted Harris this evening in your headlines? The only evidence you could have possibly had was that George had been arrested. Is this the way newspaper men treat other newspaper men in this town? How would you like to be in Harris's shoes, Mr. J. Nelson Bostock? How would you like to be hanged for telling people what you think the people should know?
I should never allow myself to be in that position, Mr. Larson. A Bostock is not a murderer of honky-tonk women.
J. Nelson presses a button. Two big six-foot-twoers clamp right on me. There are no rough words, no plebeian scuffles. I'm not thrown out. That'd be vulgar. I'm carried out, daintily, and dumped on my face on the street.
We pause now for a suggestion and a recommendation that may be important to you. You've heard about Systex for backache, for muscular aches and pains, for nervousness, for loss of pep and sleep, for that tired, worn-out feeling when due to a non-systemic and non-organic disorder of kidney function. But have you tried Systex? That's spelled C-Y-S-T-E-X. Until you do, you can't know how fast it may work to help nature curb your backache and muscular pains, bring you greater pep, allay nervousness, improve your physical well-being. Clinical tests in many cases, even on people up to the advanced age of 80, prove that Systex helps a high percentage of those who give it a fair trial. And because Systex is so successful, it is now one of the accepted medicines in many countries throughout the world. For over 20 years, Systex has brought joyous help to millions of men and women. So surely you'll make no mistake in at least giving Systex a fair trial, under the guarantee of money back unless completely satisfied. So get Systex, C-Y-S-T-E-X, from your druggist and take exactly as directed on the package. See how much Systex may help you. And now back to Lucky Larson and Deadline Mystery.
The only place left to go is my hotel room. I open the door and here sitting in my one and only chair is George Harris.
I got bailed out, Lucky. It was high, $100,000.
Who did it?
You got me. It was done by remote control. The jailer thought it was the Citizens Committee.
Oh, was it?
I phoned them. They say no.
Look, George, you got to talk fast. How well did you know Wanda King?
Pretty well. She gave me a lot of leads on the housing deal. She was going to tell me names.
Had she fallen for you? Now, come on, I want the truth.
Yeah. But I let her know it was no dice.
Where'd you get her information?
Overheard what the customers talked about, I guess.
I see it all now, George. The guys who framed you tipped off Spike Morgan that Wanda was in your room. They figured Spike would do the rest. They're the guys who bailed you out, George. Bailed you out to be killed. They figure Wanda did tell you the names.
Lucky, I'm scared.
You must have some idea where the trail was leading.
Well, yeah. Pointed toward the Intercity Construction Corporation. And that's the outfit headed by Gordon Driscoll. But Lucky, they're all solid citizens.
Okay, so it's screwy, but it's the only lead we got. You stay here, George. If you want to be alive when I come back, don't answer to anybody. Not unless you're sure it's me. A good newspaper man gets to know a lot of bad people. I know one in this town. A crib artist by the name of Oscar. Retired. I did him a favor once, so he'll stick his neck out alongside of mine. For a fee, of course. Oscar greases the way into the Intercity offices through a window and turns on all his charm on Driscoll's private safe. I'm crazy. I'm even stupid. I can get 20 years for this. I pour through the stuff. Nothing. I pour some more. My flash picks out a name on the paper I hold in my hand. J. Nelson Bostock owns 1/3 of the stock in the Intercity Construction Company, it says here. Well, I cram the paper in my pocket and start out. As I pass Driscoll's safe, my elbow knocks a picture onto the deck. I listen to see if the crash has brought the watchman. Then I pick it up, and in the dim light, I get a start. It's the picture of Phyllis Driscoll, Gordon R.'s wife. But for a second, I think it's somebody else. Brother, if that's it, it has to be it. I kiss Oscar goodbye with a 20, break all records to the Times News, the devil with a sentinel. I find it in the morgue. It could happen in 33. Well, I got it now. All I got to do is prove it. Right now, I'm back in the Crinoline Club. The boss, Ralph August, greets me warmly.
Back again, Larson. Have a drink on me this time.
Sorry, August, haven't time. Where's your phone?
Phone?
Yeah, I got something so hot it'll blow this town wide open.
On the housing scandal?
Yeah. Where's the phone?
Well, here, use the one in my office all night.
I dial my hotel. Get George. Hello, George. Lucky. Listen, but don't talk. Meet me in my hotel room in half an hour. I sing so long to Ralph August and blow two blocks down the street on Nicola phone booth. Hello? J. Nelson Bostock? Lucky Larson speaking. Now stop sputtering. You know what's good for you. You'll be at my hotel room in just one half an hour. Well, in that case, look for your name in headlines tomorrow morning in the Times News. It'll look great. Columnist connects J. Nelson Bostock with the murder of Wanda King, ex-honky-tonk girl. I'm back in my hotel room now.
Who is it?
It's me, George. Lucky, open up.
What's up, Lucky? What's the game?
Quiet, quiet. Somebody right behind me. Just a minute. Oh. Oh, the great white father. Come on in, Jay Nelson.
Young man, I've canceled your column from every one of my papers. I'll run you out of the newspaper business.
Yeah,
I'll
look at
you.
This big stuff, the notes on tomorrow's column. Wait, I'll read it to you. J. Nelson Bostock, the man who thinks he and he only should tell the people what he thinks they ought to know, is deliberately railroading a fellow newspaper man.
That's a deliberate lie, sir.
Why? Because his chess-playing pals are looting the people. And Bostock, by suppressing the truth, is protecting their right to loot. At the same time, Bostock is lining his already overstepped
pocket. Now, you look here. I've never stooped to graft in my life.
Oh, no? Then look at this, my opinionated friend.
What?
I pulled out the legal-looking document. The name's Bostock as the third owner in Intercity.
Where did you get that? That's a fake. I never saw that before in my life.
I know it is. But how do you like being framed?
I don't know. The penny's worth in that outfit.
Sure, sure, I know. If this was on the level, you'd have had this paper in your own possession. I found it in Driscoll's safe.
What?
They framed you, my friend. If Driscoll's schemes ever came to light, he'd have forced you and your wealth and your paper to defend him, using this to prove that you were his partner in crime.
But he couldn't,
Oh, yes, he could. You've already convicted yourself, Jay Nelson, by fighting the Citizens Committee's housing project so bitterly in the Sentinel.
I refuse to believe it.
Okay, so I've arranged.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.